Today, many people around the country honor the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Many remember King at the head of the civil rights movement, a man who fought for the rights of all people and preached nonviolence. But according to Dr. Cedric Burrows, an assistant professor of English at Marquette University, we don't always get the full picture of who King was. Burrows spoke with WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter, Taryn Powell.
I put King's image into two categories. So first one that we always remember is what I call the dreamer. This was a person who dreamed of, I dreamed that my children would not be judged by the color of their skin, by the content of their character, and about how we can all come together. And also, because usually that narrative is that King starts around 55 with the Montgomery bus boycott, culminates with I Have a Dream speech, and he gets a Nobel Peace Prize. And then it jumps like 3-4 years later, he's assassinated in Memphis. But we never talk about why he was assassinated in Memphis in those textbooks or in those narratives, that he was there for striking sanitation workers to get a better living wage and for also as part of his larger poor people's campaign. Second one we have, it's come up recently, is the Radical King. And this is the King who fought about against Vietnam, also about racial, not only racial justice, injustice, but also or economic justice as well. And that's good, but then the title problem comes is that the title itself, The Radical King, it gives the impression that anything before 1965 wasn't radical for King. And I would say King's whole career was radical, that the fact that it was radical and the fact that he introduced nonviolence as a tactic, as a strategy, as a way of life for people, that was a very radical thing.
And you talked about some of the inconsistencies that you've seen in Dr. King's speeches, for example, just how it might have originally been written isn't what we will always see in the textbooks. It's not really being inclusive of everything felt in that moment. And you've thought about what the effect of removing certain language might have. What effect do you see it having?
Most of it's toned down that we don't really get the anger that's seeping underneath the surface. And I think it goes to the larger narrative that as African Americans, we can't get angry at racism, that we have to always silently suffer sometimes, and that it's like we get applauded if we don't have those feelings, when actually those are natural feelings. And so it doesn't give much of a conversation about why the anger is there in the first place. And it also, and from an educational standpoint, especially in teaching writing and communication, that also it puts everything within a Western context, a Western form of communication, that it's always about persuasion, where we forget that King comes from the Black Baptist Church and how a lot of his discourse is influenced by that. And we forget that he comes from various traditions. Instead of always citing the Gandhi, which is good, you know, Gandhi influence, but also forgetting that there were other forms of community that influenced King. But we don't get that. We just get everything from a white Western perspective. And so it reframed him within that image instead of recognizing a lot of the African-American influences that he had as well.
So what do you want people to remember or consider about Dr. King on this holiday?
To remember the human rights aspect of King's message, that his message is universal, that you can, that people should still continue to fight, and that they should think about what can they do in their own community. Because it goes back to the ideas that people think, well, I'm not Dr. King, I can't make a difference, but you may not have to lead a protest march if you see some type of injustice out there, that you can still say something.
Support for Race and Ethnicity Reporting is provided by the Doman Company Foundation.